Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Well, my friend, Ross. It's been a busy time this last month. Have you guys noticed it's busier? I don't know what it is. It's just been insane for me.
It has been kind of busy. I don't know. Maybe people thawing out from the winter, trying to get back into doing business, but it has been picking up for sure.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting question from my end anyway. I mean, for me, of course, work is it comes in spurts and stuff. It's pretty steady for you, though, because you've always got the same job, don't you?
Yeah, it is. On my in-house side, it's always busy. There's always everything going on. There's always something happening, always new things going on. So that stays pretty consistent. On the agency side, where we're helping customers like you do, it does fluctuate, I think, with budgets. It always slows down towards the end of the year, picks up after January when people get new budgets. But that's pretty standard, I think, in the industry.
Yeah, I think we've noticed a lot of improvement in terms of people interested in finally making some moves with their websites. Maybe it's all the news about mobile, I don't know, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And then also, you know, we're trying to make our prices a little more custom for each person, even more so. So
it is interesting you say that, because we've seen a lot of discussion too about websites, and it's like, you know, especially a lot of it's tied to this, the mobile update, the algorithm update. Everybody's kind of up in a tizzy about this, but we had a discussion today at work. It's like, you know, Google's been pushing mobile for a long time, and mobile has been a big thing for a couple of years now. And this is just like people are finally deciding to get off their butts and because Google said you had to. It's interesting how much influence Google has. And I wonder if this whole algorithmic update and the fact that they gave everybody all this notice is tied to their mission of trying to make the web more mobile friendly. It's interesting when you think about it philosophically instead of from a business standpoint, what they're trying to do and if they planned it that way or not.
Well, they do like to flex their muscles. Look at the HTTPS issue, right? I mean, I thought that was kind of silly, that the whole thing pushed people to do it, and then it ended up being kind of a backlash in a way because they weren't ready in some regards. People had issues with their websites after doing the switch with rankings and et cetera. I mean, silly.
But it's still, I think the HTTPS issue is not over by any means. It's kind of like the mobile thing. We've been talking about mobile for years and years now, and it's just in the last year or two that it really has started having a huge impact on what we do day to day. And I think the HTTPS thing, the security thing, that'll happen there too. It's starting off slow, but a year or two from now, it'll be a big issue.
When I think to many people, I'm guessing here, but I think to many of our listeners, mobile is a little more tangible. You know, they can. There's no doubt. I mean, look everywhere; they can see it. And
absolutely. You
know, I mean, obviously, we hear everything about security every day too, but it seems more about that happened to someone else.
There's a big push here in the U.S. A lot of the big tech companies are now, you know, going after the government and the NSA about their policies tied to you know, how they spy on everybody, right? So there's this big push now to reform our government and their methodologies right around they do that. And I know we've talked about this, you know, for the last year, but actually in the past month, there's been a big push towards that from a lot of major corporations.
We had a moron here in Canada. I think he was appealing to the CRTC. He was one of the big wigs that owns one of these big telecoms here. He was trying to convince them that they needed to outlaw VPNs.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Isn't that brilliant?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they were focused more on the personal VPNs because people are using it to sort of hide their traffic when they're downloading bad stuff. But oh, man, it's just stupid. The security, it goes one way, then it goes the other way. We're too secure, then we're not secure.
So people and governments need to learn there's no such thing as privacy online, and nobody should expect it.
And when you get it, hold on to it.
Yeah.
If you get any of it, especially VPNs. Oh, my God.
The only way to have privacy on a computer is air gap it. Buy a brand new one and never connect it to anything.
Oh, I don't know. But what about that BIOS battery?
But if you never connect it to anything, does it matter?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, okay. It's got juice. Okay. So, nerding out here a bit. We had quite the shows, the last two shows, and apparently record downloads, and I'm glad everyone seems to have enjoyed it. Have you heard anything from any of the listeners?
A lot of people just saying that they enjoyed it and thought it was really informative and were happy that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
And I agree. I was happy that that John was able to come on the show, and he was so open, and in most cases, some cases he can't be, and we understand that, but we're not going to stop us from asking.
We have to push.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he was really good about answering the questions as clearly as he could. He's a very good Matt substitute for now.
Yes.
He really is.
So one thing I didn't get to ask him is Matt coming back? Do you think he is?
Yeah. And he didn't. Yeah. I don't think he would have had much to say anyway.
I know. Well, what do you think, Ross? Is Matt coming back?
I don't know. We've talked about this before. I really don't know. I think he could, or he certainly doesn't need to.
And then I guess the other question is, does it matter if he comes back? Nothing against Matt, but, you know, he's a great guy, and I love the way he communicates to us. But, you know, I think we'll go on without him if we need to.
Well, we already are.
Yes.
Yeah, and as long as we have someone who can talk to us as an industry in proper tones, mm-hmm. like John is doing, then that's really what we need. Besides, Matt's a superstar. It was hard to talk to the guy. God.
And I think I'm seeing Google put more people out there now instead of just having this one point of contact for us all this time. They did a recent Google Plus Hangout that was like an hour long talking about the mobile update. There was two new people on it that I'd never really even heard of before, but they were really informative, really intelligent. So it's nice to see them giving us new faces to talk to instead of just having one point of contact. I think that's going to make it easier long term for everybody.
Yeah. So I know I'm looking at our content list, and it's kind of all over the map. We were going to talk a little more about the mobile update. Thinking about what's coming up on April 21st, mm-hmm. I've personally heard a lot of people kind of panicking as usual, over panics, really overly panicking. Some people suggesting that this is going to be way more than just mobile. You have to be mobile friendly to be showing up in desktop. Like, no. They're not saying that.
Well, actually, there's a lot of discussion. I've heard about 50-50. You know, there's some good arguments for desktop is going to be impacted, and there's some good arguments for it not being impacted. I'm not sure at this point.
But it is all speculation versus what they've said about mobile friendly for mobile. Well,
but the problem is what they said was a little bit vague. So it could have been interpreted as everything, or it could have been interpreted as just mobile. So it's like, you know, and I know Rand came out saying it's going to impact desktop, which probably lit the fire about the controversy. I originally, when I first read it, my first inclination was, yep, this is going to impact desktop as well. The more I read, the more I'm on the fence. And I'm basically at the point where I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to prepare for it. If it impacts desktop, I'll be ready. If it doesn't, I'm ready for when they finally do.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it wouldn't make much sense for it to impact desktop yet. I could see it as being another rollout, like a bit of a push later once people start to realize what they've missed and that they're missing out on mobile. You know, it could be something that's a scaled thing. Yeah. That's how I would do it. But then again, Google likes to flex. So who knows what they're going to do.
Well, part of everything Google's been doing for the past couple of years has been trying to merge the mobile experience and the desktop experience. They did it in local search. They did that with the Pigeon update, where they merged the two algorithms, a lot of the changes in that update were tied to desktop, but impacted, or tied to mobile, excuse me, but also were reflected in desktop. So part of me thinks, well, why would they do it two different ways? That's more resources, it's more time, it's more programming. Why not just do it one way, right? And that makes a lot of sense across the board. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and really, since they show different results for the different handsets, why let it affect desktop at this point? Yes, again, I think I can see it as a future thing, but I, all right, it doesn't make sense yet. However, I wish everything made sense.
But even if it doesn't impact desktop, it's still going to impact probably more than 50% of people's traffic because, you know, this is
some people's traffic.
In most people's traffic. Some people, you're right, will not have that much, but a majority of traffic now is on mobile devices. If you look at the whole big picture of the internet, mobile traffic has surpassed desktop traffic, right? So no matter where you're at, some businesses are going to have more desktop, but if you're looking at the internet as a whole, you know, at least half or a little more than half of the traffic is going to be impacted by this update.
Yeah, well, and the way I've been saying it, just because I don't want to be too panicky for people, you know, I don't want to get everyone freaking out here, because if they don't have the money to make the change right now, and I've got clients that are like that, they're fretting. Don't stress. I mean, let's look at your, and what I do is I take them right to your analytics. How much traffic are you getting right now from mobile? Oh, 7%. I've seen them that low. Okay, well, this isn't a big deal for you yet. Do it as soon as you can. Because who knows what you're missing, but you're not going to lose much traffic. And a lot of it was high bounce because their site was already such crap. So they're not really losing anything. They could have benefited from it, but they're not losing.
So to your point, though, there's the other side of that coin. If you go and you look at that and you're just getting 70% of your traffic from mobile and you don't have a mobile-friendly site, you better take some action soon. You know what I mean?
Imagine there'd be a pretty high bounce rate.
there's both sides of that coin, right? And of course, you can have a site that seems like it's mobile friendly to you because it reflects, you know, when you go on a mobile device, there's your website. It looks like your website, acts like your website. But if you have to pinch in and squeeze out and your links are too close together, or there's, you know, there's the mobile search friendly tool that Google published. If you put your site in there and it tells you you're not search mobile friendly, you're not going to be mobile friendly. And they came out this week, and basically it says this is a yes or no flag in the algorithm. The site, and it's a page by page analysis, by the way. It's not a site analysis. It's page by page. So if that page is not mobile friendly, it says no. It's a yes or no. There's no gray areas. It can't be kind of mobile friendly, but not, you know, there's not percentages. It's either black or white in this case. And if your page is not mobile friendly, it's going to impact you.
Interesting. I always see it saying your site is mobile friendly, not this page is mobile friendly when they result.
That's true. The tool says your site, but the algorithm itself is analyzing it on a page.
Yeah.
By page level.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Because if they go through pretty fast.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, with that said, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about mobile and lots of news actually we got here.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, seen other SEO experts, but did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. plus build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at internetmarketingninjas.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. And hey, I wanted to let the listeners know I got a kind of a cool deal. I've been looking a long time for a good hosting company, and it hasn't been easy for my clients, because everyone asks me and they don't want to go for the full dedicated or anything, obviously, that we use. And I don't say this lightly, because we did test them, personally tested them. We were pretty happy with HostGator. Now, I'm sure everyone's got their own opinions. Someone's had bad experiences, etc., and I totally understand it. But if you are interested in one, we put it through its paces, their VPS, their virtual private servers, put it through their paces, did some real tests on it, and it worked out really well. And if you are interested, Stepforth, Stepforth, is the discount code for 25% off. They gave it to me. They were happy with it. I'm like, all right, what the hell? I'll tell my listeners.
So why wasn't the discount code SEO101?
That's what they gave me, Stepforth. I'm not going to argue. It's a discount code.
All right, fine.
Anyway, pretty cool. And I believe you can even get it on top of the other discount codes I have. So, hey.
All right. Hey, one other thing that we should talk about the mobile update before we get on some of the news going on is that everybody's fully aware of the date. April 21st is when this is going to roll out. And I believe John said on the interview that there was like a switch. They were going to turn it on. It was going to go. But over the last week, it's come out that it's going to probably take three or four days to a week to actually roll out. And this is going to happen worldwide.
Which makes way more sense.
Yeah. So if it's April 21st and you don't see any change, don't go, phew, hey, we made it, because it might hit you in a day or two.
Yeah. And it's not like they're just switching out a hard drive here.
Yeah.
there's a few 100,000 computers they have to update.
How many data centers are they up to now?
I think the last
I heard was years ago, it was like 9. And I have no idea how many it is now. It's got to be more than that.
And these things are as big as like football fields, aren't they? They're huge.
Oh, yeah, they're huge. It was amazing to me that what Google did when they decided to build their data centers. And they used like tens of thousands of PCs connected together. And so, you think about the old school mainframes. It's like, well, they're not using a mainframe. They're using tens of thousands of PCs that are interconnected. And just what they're doing is pretty phenomenal. The technology they do is just unbelievable.
It is. One thing I'm kind of surprised about, again, nerding out a bit here, but I'm surprised they haven't done anything kind of like that SETI program where your computer, when it was doing down cycles, would be used to do something really cool. They could really get a lot of power out of that, and that would be one of their neat 1% or whatever it is, 10% time things.
But do they ever really have any downtime on their computers? Think about it. They got
our computers, not theirs.
Oh, our computers. They want to use
it's like the SETI program. You know how you can download that and it'll run when you're not using your computer?
But they are. They're tracking all our personal information and putting it into AdWords. What are you talking about?
Well, just think how much better info they could get.
Oh, all right.
On the mobile friendly note, I'm pretty excited. My site right now is ghastly in terms of being out of date, and I'm working finally, slowly working on my mobile friendly version of Stepforth. I'm very excited because it's so dated. But you know what it's like. It's time.
Oh yeah.
Time. Guys, trying to find the time. So
are you doing it yourself, or did you find a design firm to do it for you?
I am going to follow my own advice, and I'm going to use one of the templates that I recommend to my own clients, and I'm doing it myself. Of course,
oh, nice.
I'm pretty savvy when it comes to the technology stuff, so I'm not exactly a standard client, but it's going to be fun. And then I'm sure I'll need some help from my programmer and stuff later, but I want to get the most of it done myself, because it's mostly content, sales message, all that sort of stuff. So
yeah. Very cool. Looking forward to seeing it when you're launching it.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but I'm hoping before the mobile update, just because that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, April 20th?
Yeah, perhaps. So, why don't you cover the – actually, FTC. I have to share this because I think it's –
Oh, yeah. You should.
Pretty interesting. So, I'm just going to read this quote from – I believe it's Search Engine Land. an inadvertently disclosed report from the Federal Trade Commission labels Google a monopoly and appears to directly contradict the decision not to pursue legal action against the company. In early 2013, the FTC formally decided to close its antitrust investigation against Google, demanding only modest changes in the company's business practices. It turns out a vocal contingent inside the FTC wanted stronger action. The existence of the critical 160-page report was discussed in a Wall Street Journal article today, and the Wall Street Journal says the report was mistakenly disclosed in response to a Freedom of Information request.
Interesting. There's been some interesting stuff come out of that, too, if you haven't been reading about it. Lots of things where they proved that Google was promoting their own content above competitors' content and things like product searches and those kind of things. It's very interesting, some of the stuff that goes against the "don't be evil" motto. There's some interesting reading in that document.
Yeah, I'm sure Google would feel differently about their judgments, so you can't even call them on it. But
yeah,
it's pretty interesting. I actually heard that Europe is going big time on them now, or there's talk about it. Now, I don't know how much of it was just rumblings or not. I tend to see a lot of discussions, and I can't really wade into them and read all the details, but I wouldn't be surprised. Europe is not friendly to Google at all.
No, not at all.
No.
Is there a competing search engine in Europe? Like, we know we've got Baidu in China, and what's the one in Russia? One in Russia, too. But does Europe have a competing engine?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I'm not aware of one either.
I mean, just the European versions of these other ones. Like, for some reason, I never hear anyone bark about Bing, probably because it just doesn't have any search share. But maybe in Europe, it's got an opportunity now.
Right.
Although, who wants to, it seems. They're pretty nasty to anyone who ever gets in there. It's pretty intense. So what's next here?
So you know how every once in a while Hollywood will put out this sequel to a movie that you didn't know you really needed to see, and you're like, wow. You know, it's like the new Rocky movie that's coming out, right? It's like you didn't realize you really needed to see a new Rocky movie, but then you read about it, it's like, wow, I guess I really didn't need that. Well, Google did that to us. They're coming out with an update that we didn't really know we needed because we thought we fixed the problem years ago. They're coming out with an update to address doorway pages. Does anybody even still do doorway pages?
Yes.
Yeah?
I just ran into, ironically, a debt consolidation company that is using them. And in fact, I ran into the guy who designed their system. And he's like, is this a good idea? I'm like, no. He says, I thought so. I better let them know. I'm like, oh, God. But I mean, he designed it a long time ago they're not exactly the most ethical of businesses in many cases. I have a client who is, but most of the time they're not. And in terms of their SEO anyway. And it devised doorway pages for every single city and in all of Canada.
And they rank. And I can tell you, I did that myself, 8 years ago when it made sense and it worked. I mean, I was working for a foreclosure data company, and we built a page for every city in the United States, and put foreclosure data on it and talked about it. They were basically doorway pages, and it worked. It increased the site's traffic, I think, 300%.
I'll tell you, I looked at their SEMrush data. So for listeners who don't know what that is, SEMrush is a tool you can look at the existing rankings for any website organically and also for pay-per-click. And in this case, it showed how this particular website had tons of traffic just 2 years ago. I mean, it was insane how much traffic. Yeah. And it's been a steep decline since then. That said, they still rank really, really well. It's just in a whole lot less phrases.
Well, what's going to happen, I think, is you're right. There are companies that still do this. They still think, I sell a product and I want to make sure I can sell it in these areas. And it really, where I see it mostly now is when people are trying to target different geographic areas or different variations on products or services. They take a keyword or a keyword set and they create a page for each of the variations based on some small variable like color or location, those kind of things, right? And some of that worked for a while. And I think we're going to see the people that have done that years ago and it's been working for them and they haven't been caught up until this new update hits. It's going to be very similar to what we see when you talk to clients who got hit by Panda or Penguin. They're like, this stuff worked for so long and all of a sudden it wasn't allowed anymore. And why am I getting picked on? I think it's going to, so people that don't realize that's what they're doing, they're going to get hit and they're going to be upset and they're not going to understand.
As much as I don't like to hear people upset, these algorithmic updates are fantastic for business because you finally get these people coming in going, what did I do wrong? And you're like, well, let me start. oh, my God. You were listening to the wrong person, first of all.
Yeah.
Dear God. It's scary. The good thing is I'll finally, hoping they do it right, of course, I'll finally be in the position where I don't have to tell clients, we can't do what your competitors are doing. I know they're succeeding. I know. But we can't do it because it's going to catch up to them. And when it doesn't catch up to them, God, I look bad. But I can't conscionably use these tactics.
You're about to look really damn good.
I hope so.
Yeah, because the doorway page thing is, it's if you've been doing it, hopefully you haven't been doing it on purpose and that you've been either taking some bad advice or you're just trying to you don't have time to update something that you did years ago. But this is kind of like the mobile update. If you're relying on the traffic from these pages, you better do something soon because your traffic's going to go away.
You know what would be really interesting is to put our heads together and look at all the different ways that Google would try to pick out doorway pages. And they obviously got to be careful. The beginning, they're going to be really going after the most obvious. And they'll probably do what they normally do and just slowly but surely get more specific with their algorithm. But it'll be interesting to see how they're identifying them and how the bad dudes, the black hats, try and work around this. It's going to be fascinating.
So I think one of the simplest ways, if I was Google, to identify a doorway page would be tied to duplicate content. You look at a page that's very similar to another page, and you look at what the differences are instead of what the similarities are. And if the differences can fall into a category like these are all geos, or these are all variations on a theme, that's going to be, to me, those duplicate content are going to be seen as doorway instead of duplicate content. You know what I mean? Because a lot of doorway pages, that's exactly what they are. You take a page and you build it specifically to drive traffic. It has no other value but other than to pull in traffic to the rest of your site, right? And I think that's how Google defines a doorway page. Is that, did you read that? I think that's how I read it.
Yeah. Well, before we go to break, I want to say that I think that's going to get a whole lot harder for Google. And the reason why is, did you see that Washington Post article about content forever?
No, I didn't. What was that?
I'll post the link here for you, but if you go to tinysubversions.com /content forever, the forever just has a capital F in it. Anyway, it is a auto-generating content. It's written by a so-called intelligent system. And the content it comes up with is creepily decent, not good, but it really shows a lot of improvement in terms of computer-generated content. And I can guarantee we're going to see a lot of that. I mean, they already do to some degree, but a lot more of it in terms of doorway pages and that kind of thing to usurp these algorithms.
Interesting. But is that really a doorway page?
So well, that's going to be the new doorway page. It's got to be easy, right?
Just because it's auto-generated content, if it's valuable, useful content, doesn't necessarily mean it's a doorway page, right?
Yeah, valuable, and I don't know whether it's going to be valuable or not, but I mean, let's say you're trying to go for a city name and let's say debt consolidation. Well, this might be a way to get that content and would look identical, look completely unique, but it's just generated as a doorway page.
But what if it's writing not necessarily generating doorway page style content? What if it's writing editorial style content and it's automated, it's automatic, but it seems to be, since as you describe, it's much better, it's decent quality than what we're used to from automated content, can it pass as something real? and if they put out 40 or 50 of these a day in blog format, is that a doorway page just because it was auto-generated?
Well, it's certainly going to pose an issue. Yeah. Can you imagine how many people are going to jump on this? In terms of a doorway, it could be used for doorway pages is what I'm getting at.
Let's think out 20 years from now when somebody actually does invent a artificial intelligence of some sort. There's a couple different kinds, not the self-aware kind of artificial intelligence, but this self-learning artificial intelligence. Why can't that artificial intelligence write real good? You know, it's self-learning. It can put together things that we might not put together. It could have points. If it's an artificial intelligence that's self-learning but not self-aware, and it's creating content, and you have thousands of them doing that, you know, is that all? What's that? Right?
Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. I just did one for Google. Oh, my God.
Think about this. Amazing. Think about this, all right, because I've got this presentation I've been doing. I did it at WordCamp Miami last year. It's called Content is Not King, right? And I firmly believe content is not king. And when people, when my salespeople, anybody I've talked to, you know, I was in a sales meeting the other day with clients, and one of the sales reps said content king. And I corrected him in front of the client, said, "You're crazy. Content is not king." And I firmly believe it's not true. If you think about it, right? There's a study out, and I need to find this study so I can share it, but there's a study out that says by the end of this year, there will be twice as much content produced online than demand for content online, right? So that mm-hmm. automatically means that half of the content created online will never, ever be seen by anybody, right? So how can content be king if half of it's never seen by anybody, right?
Well put.
So if you've got you know, 1,000 artificial intelligence beings or whatever you want to call them at the time creating, you know, 100 pieces of content a day, that's wasted. You know, you've got to create content. You've got to build content that's worth seeing, and then you have to find ways to get it in front of people. And what we do as SEOs is one of those ways to get it in front of people.
Yeah, well, we could talk about this forever because there's lots of different ways of looking at these things. But there's certainly going to be doorway page use with these things. And I think it's going to be interesting how it's used. But even back to the main issue, it's going to be really interesting to talk about how Google is going to try and pick these out. There's some basics we've already covered that are dead obvious. But after that, they're going to have to really get intricate about picking this stuff out.
And you also have to deal with an unintentional doorway pages, like an e-commerce system that might create a separate URL for the 5 different colors of that t-shirt. Well, if the color's the only change and it's a different URL, would those be considered doorway pages if they don't have canonical tags or, you know, rel equals next prev, whatever the solution is to group them together? Are those considered doorway pages unintentionally? I don't know.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll cover a couple more things before the end of the show.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Do you want to optimize and grow your business? Then master your skills in conversion rate optimization. Sign up for Conversion Conference Las Vegas 2015, happening on May 12th through the 14th. It's Brasco from Webmaster Radio inviting you to the biggest and only conversion conference in the United States this year. Join your colleagues and the world's leading conversion experts, including Tim Ash, Amy Africa, Lance Loveday, Natalie Nahai, plus 40 of your favorite optimizers. Learn to create persuasive content, design landing pages that trigger your visitors to action, and convert blog readers into customers. Come to Conversion Conference, the conference that pays for itself in no time. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get a $100 discount on their pass. Register early and get full access for only $897 when you use discount code WMFM. Simply register online at conversionconference.com with the code WMFM. That's conversionconference.com, code WMFM. Hurry, save your seat before they sell out.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services. PPCprofessionals.com.
All-Inclusive Marketing is the luxurious five-star resort of digital marketing.
Welcome to All-Inclusive Marketing.
Engage with All-Inclusive Marketing's award-winning strategists to ramp up your online profitability and brand exposure, driving new customer acquisitions, increased sales, and stronger buyer retention.
Another mojito, please?
All-Inclusive Marketing's full-service digital and performance marketing accommodates every brand, specializing in retail, travel, and software as a service.
What a great room.
The A in All-Inclusive Marketing means award-winning leadership, excellence in results, as well as an A rating by the Better Business Bureau. For reach, engagement, and conversion, it's All-Inclusive Marketing. Reserve a free consultation today at allinclusivemarketing.com/radio. Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc.
So, you know you're having an off day when you mispronounce myself.
I know. Little pounding headache going on here, so I'm just getting through it. Always making it easier, too. Thanks, pal.
I do my best, man.
So I actually had a further question I'm going to ask John Mueller, but ever since he'd mentioned that thing about tabbed content, and it confirmed it essentially for us, that if you have content that's hidden in technically hidden behind tabs on a page, once it's loaded, you know, that a person requires to click on it to see it, essentially that content isn't considered in your overall ranking for that page.
And can I clarify a little bit? I don't think it was just tabbed content. It's hidden content. You can use the accordion styles, anything that will show and unshow, I guess is the right word, content on a page is what we're talking about here.
Well, and that's what made me wonder whether or not, I guess it's technically whether or not they have the technology right now built in, but if you look at this theme on elegantthemes.com, it's called Origin. I've got a link to it on here, but you can go to elegantthemes.com, it's a great site, and you'll see it. And it has a really, really, really pleasing look where it's got images, and when you just roll your mouse over them, content appears. Technically, but he said, based on what he says, that stuff will not have any benefit.
And I don't think he said it won't have any benefit. It'll have less benefit. Yes, will be indexed. It will be found. It just won't apply as much to the initial algorithm analysis of the page, algorithmic analysis.
Of the content.
Correct.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I wonder. I'm actually trying to find. I haven't looked that hard, I admit, but I'm going to be trying to find examples of any sites that have ranked well using this theme.
Is this the one you're thinking about for Stepforth?
No.
Thank
client
God.
Of mine is, yeah, a client of mine has chosen this.
And I have to tell you, and I apologize to your client ahead of time, this is an ugly theme. I'm just saying. Maybe it's the pictures, maybe it's the images and the coloring scheme they chose to use, but man, I'm not happy with this one.
It looks really good at the different levels. It's very good in terms of Google page speed and mobile friendliness, et cetera, et cetera. They've done a good job on it. I actually like it. I don't love the colors, no, but I do love the concept. Yeah, and in his case, he sells in balloons. And
yeah, you're right. It would depend on what the product is and how they're using it. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm very intrigued. I want to be sure of this, obviously, before we jump headlong into this theme, but I mean, we can still make it work, but it would be nice to know how much of this content is going to play much of a role in their ranking. And there are a ton of themes out there that do this.
The first thing I would say is do not rely, especially on this particular. So in this particular theme, describe to the audience what it is it's like a checkerboard, and each of the checkerboard squares is a picture. When you mouse over the picture, it tells you the name of the product, the price of the product, and a short description. And you can click through, and when you click it, it goes to that product page, right? Or it's either a product or a blog post. And for this type of style, Ross, I would not want the content really to be indexed as topical content. I want to make sure the links are followed, and I want to make sure that the links are text so they pass a little bit of relevancy. But the content on this is going to change so frequently. There's so many different topics that are going to be covered on this page that you're going to have topical dilution on this page. It's never really going to get strong for any one of the topics that are covered in one of those squares, that I'm not sure it matters that much. As long as you got those links going to those deeper pages that are really the pages you want to rank for that particular content anyway, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. But I like to know how much is being considered. That's really what it comes down to.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. I think it'd be interesting to know that as well. But if you're worried about your client, I wouldn't worry too much about the content being indexed in a thematic standpoint on the homepage, because, you know, it's one of those situations where there's too much variety is gonna hurt your relevancy on the homepage.
On the benefit here is it's all going to be balloons, so there's a pretty obvious theme that'll help.
that will help for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, that was just one of the questions that I was intrigued to see what he would say about. We've got another one as well that was asked by I'm gonna butcher this. I'm sorry, Tomir, I think Petrov. I'm sorry, Tomir, we didn't get a chance to ask it. It was a little technical, and I didn't think we'd have a chance to get to it at the end there with John. But I am going to try and send it to John Mueller and see if he'll respond, and I'll send along the, or at least I'll post the reply in our Google Plus community for SEO 101. Now, okay, I'll let you do it. What's the new domain?
Okay, so it's everybody knows there's a whole bunch of new TLDs coming, lots of different things. I actually tried to get our company
top level domains. That is
top level. I tried to get our company to try to get the .live domain registered for us, but Google's done got .google. There's, I think Microsoft has done a few. Well, there's a number of them that are kind of interesting, and one that they've actually started selling domain names for now is .sucks. So if you wanted to go out there and buy, you know, walmart.sucks as a website, not .com, but .sucks, you can do it. And there's a lot of controversy around this, because is it really a, you know, people didn't think it should have been approved as a TLD, because it's kind of like a scam more than anything, because it's basically a bunch of companies now, if they're worried about it, are thinking they have to go out and buy the .sucks version of their domains so no one else will buy them and start talking bad about them. And if you're thinking that, my personal opinion is don't waste your time or money, because if somebody wants to create a site and they're that it's that important to them to create a site about your company, they can find a domain: walmartsucks.com, walmartsucks.cc, walmartsucks.net, walmart.sucks. It's just another variation of a bunch of domains you can go out and get. No, nothing against Walmart. It's just an example. But if you're worried about the .sucks domain, I wouldn't be.
No.
Not at all. That said, if someone does buy one and builds a site on .sucks, I don't believe it'll have any advantages or disadvantages in search. It's gonna have the same exact type of requirements needed for any kind of domain. There's no real difference in a TLD. No TLD has any advantage or disadvantage over any other TLD, even .govs or .edus. From the TLD standpoint alone, they're all equal. Now, there are things that happen around .gov sites that don't happen around other sites that make them a little more valuable or have the impression of being more valuable. Same with .edus. But from an algorithmic standpoint, there's absolutely no difference between .edu and .sucks.
Who would ever have thought we'd be talking about this on the show?
I mean, what a
strange top double domain. Anyway, yeah. They're everywhere, yeah. Though. There's .dentist. I mean, yeah. Everything's out there. It's pretty impressive.
There's a ton of it.
It's kind of fun, though, from a marketing perspective. I've got a client that we're an ally. I partnered up with a dentist, a company that does dental web design, and I'm doing their SEO and all their marketing. And Dot Dentist, it's a great idea. Why not? Let's go for that .tld for a few people. It looks good.
I really wanted to get the .live domain because all of our sites we have like MLive and Oregon Live, and I thought that would be cool if we could do like all the states .live. But then I even started thinking about it more. What happens when you sell it to NFL and you do NFL.live and they do all their live broadcasts on that domain? You know, you can have a live Broadway show. You can have anything that has live, anything could have its own domain on .live. That has those kind of things to me has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
.sucks, well, not so much.
The other thing before we cut off here is one issue keeps coming up for me when I'm dealing with clients is they keep telling me, well, I've got this domain. Isn't that good? It sounds really good. Why don't we use that domain too? People, it's great to get domains that really inspire you, but do it so you're going to be running another website entirely different. Unless you really want to switch everything. But the point of the matter is you don't want to run multiple websites for your content, for your business, unless it makes perfect financial sense, because that's dividing all of your work. You have to then do more marketing for every one of these websites. It's exhausting getting rankings for one, getting the visibility and getting all the work done to make the site convert business. I mean, it just it's exhausting.
One of the hardest parts of getting a client to really do good in SEO is getting them to help you, or if they're doing it themselves, create good content for their website. Try doing that for 10 websites because you can't use the same content on all of them. You buy this new domain, you got to come up with new content for this site. That's the hardest part of a website. And the more domains you buy, the more content you need to create. And just if you want to buy them because they're cool, great. Redirect them. 301 them.
And check out content. Forever. No. although, seriously, check it out. It's pretty wild. Well, with that said, if you have any questions you'd like to ask us.
Can we say one more thing real quick? Because I just wanted to get your opinion before I forgot. So it came out last week that Bing is changing to a one-page search result. So it'll be one of those infinity scrolling pages. So there's no longer going to be page 2, page 3, page 20, page 100 on Bing. It's going to be one page. I don't understand the move. I'm not sure what the impact's going to be. I think it's going to really kill the pay-per-click stuff on Bing unless they find a way to integrate it differently. But what's your thoughts on that move from a search result?
My first instinct is, second, like just like that, wow, what a big change. But my first, I think it's a good idea in some regards. Yes, making it monetary, monetization aspect, that's going to be tough. But it's probably the future.
Yeah, I know. All of our sites are like that. So we have that. You have to ask for more content, but it stays on the same page. You can only ask so many times. And literally we see after the second request for more stories, basically as a news feed, it drops off to zero. So people on our sites, and we have over 50 million unique visitors on our sites the last couple months each, almost never click more than twice to see more stories. So I can see it being a resource for them. They don't have to create all these pages. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. If they can figure out the advertising, the monetization model. And I agree, you're right. I think it's going to – it makes sense in one hand. On the other hand, it's going to be an interesting change for people to accept.
Yeah. I am looking forward to seeing it, though. And I do think it is a logical move. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Thanks for bringing it up, though. That's cool.
Yep. All right.
So if anyone has any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus, while it sticks around anyway. you can also email me via ross@stepforth.com and or reach John Carcutt via Twitter @JohnCarcutt. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday on webmasterradio.fm. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.